Man.
Hey, it's Thursday. Of course, you probably knew that. We're less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. Good grief. I've got to get out and get some shopping done. Matt Coulter, along with Lars Anderson and Noah Haynes. Appreciate you folks dialing us in. You can dial us up for the next 2 hours at 205-342-9904. A lot of headlines today. Last night's documentary on Barstar was just splendid. Of course, the Alabama football schedule, Auburn, Florida, all of the schedules were released last night. But Lars, unfortunately, going to start on a sad note, and that's right after we finished our show yesterday. My phone started lighting up as people were reporting that Bill Burgess, a longtime, very successful, very popular coach, but he was one of those hard-nosed guys. Bill Burgess passed away at the age of 82. He played football under Shug. He was a fullback at Auburn. He was Birmingham-born. And won a national championship for Jacksonville State University back in 1992. And, of course, he's the father of Rick Burgess of Rick and Bubba fame. But you probably never had the pleasure of being around him. He was a wonderful, delightful man, except when it came to football. And, man, he put helmet on helmet. That's the way he played. He ran the wishbone. He said he didn't care if you come to scout his team. You know, come on, watch me on defense, watch me on offense. We're going to do the same thing. And that was his approach. And players loved him, but he was hard on them. But anyway, I got to know him very, very well over the years. And it is with great sadness that we report that Bill Burgess has passed away at the age of 82. Did you ever get a chance to be around him? I know you know Rick.
No, I was never around Bill. What is your enduring memory or image of him?
Let's see. Probably when he was in at Jacksonville State. And at 91 and 92, they went to the championship both years. And 92, of course, as I just mentioned, they won it all. But this guy was, there was no act with him when he was on the sideline. And I remember how he would get on to players, but they also knew, and much the way Saban does, he's getting on them to make them better, to prove a point. I do know one thing, and we'll talk to Tuffy about this in a little bit. He was pretty tough on his coaches, and Tuffy will talk about that too. But I just think from an overall perspective, I don't remember one certain game or one certain play. I just remember him as a very, very tough football coach and last of that breed. I don't think we see them anymore. But then off the field, he was as kind and as gentle and giving as you could possibly imagine. And I think that's just the overall picture when I think of Bill Burgess.
Yeah. He was a giant of his time, no doubt. I just, like I said, I don't have much to comment because I never had any interaction with him. Last night, as we were hanging out, Matt, the SEC schedule was released, as you mentioned, and man, Alabama's schedule is no cakewalk, and we knew that going into last night. We knew basically who it was going to be, but when you examine it, it's a brutal schedule, to be frank. Open on August 31 against Western Kentucky in Bryant-Denny. Then the next week, September 7th, South Florida comes to Bryant-Denny, and we know what happened against South Florida this year. I don't expect it to be as close as it was in Tampa. But then you go to Wisconsin on September 14th, and I have covered many, many games at Camp Randall, and that is a very, very difficult place to play. It is loud. The students are on top of you. The fans are extremely passionate. They will hold on to their tickets for dear life. So this is going to be a major event in Madison, Wisconsin, to have Alabama coming to town, perhaps reigning national champions, Alabama coming to town. And, I know Wisconsin is a little bit down this year. but I think Luke Fickell has the program moving in the right direction. And it's just going to be a really fun environment for fans, but a difficult one to play in. Have you ever been to Camp Randall? Have you ever been to Madison, Wisconsin?
That's bucket list stuff. Been to Milwaukee and Green Bay and some other places up there, but I've always heard that it's the best college atmosphere that you'll find in the Big Ten, and that says a lot when you got Ohio State and Michigan. But what else is there to do in Michigan? In Wisconsin.
Well, it's beautiful. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's right on the lake there, and the weather should be nice. It'll be a nice fall day, September 14th. I would imagine this will probably be a night game, which will even jack the crowd up even more. It's always a big time event when Alabama goes on the road to a place that they haven't been to in a long time. And I don't even know if Alabama's ever played in Wisconsin. I probably should have looked that up. But
they played in one of those kickoff classics just a few years ago.
No, but at Wisconsin.
My bad. I jumped the gun, but I don't believe they have. I'll look that up while you continue.
But yeah, so then Alabama has a bye after Wisconsin, and then boom. You got Georgia at home at night, 6:30. The kickoff time's already been announced. So I know there's a bye in there, but that is a tough 3-week stretch at Wisconsin, a bye, then Georgia. And then the week after Georgia, you kind of get a little bit of a break. You go up to Vanderbilt, which is typically more like a home game against a really good high school team. Even when you're on the road up there. Then October 12th is South Carolina. Then the 19th at Tennessee. And the 26th, we got Missouri coming to Brian Denny. And look at Missouri right now. In the college football rankings, Missouri is up to 9. So, and then I know they have a really good recruiting class. And that is no gimme whatsoever. And then November 2nd is another bye week. And then you got at LSU. That'll be a tough one. And most likely that will be at night. And then you have Mercer on November 16th at home. And then, Matt, at Oklahoma on November 23rd.
Continue.
And then you close out November 30th in the Iron Bowl hosting Auburn. I mean, you go at Oklahoma to Norman, Oklahoma, and then you finish with the Iron Bowl. That is the most difficult schedule, at least, just based on these two really difficult road games at Wisconsin, at Oklahoma, and then you got Georgia at home. You got Missouri at home. You got to have a much improved Auburn at home. And, you got to go to Tennessee.
Hmm. Yeah, it's brutal. But they all are. You know, when you bring Oklahoma and Texas into this league, everybody's going to have to get a piece of them, or the SEC is going to get a piece of them. And that just upped everybody's schedule. But as tough as Alabama's is, woe on to the Florida Gators. I think that's probably the toughest, in my opinion. Georgia's up there, you know. With the addition of the Sooners and the Longhorns, Georgia can't hide anymore. And they're going to get it next year. It's a great topic. Tuffy Crow, who was just been a longtime friend of the show, but he also knew Bill Burgess very, very well. We'll talk to him about that and Bart Starr and many other things as you continue to listen to Big Noon Sports presented by Haley Sansing Union Home Mortgage.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mostly sunny afternoon, the high today 62, fair tonight with a low at 38. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 61. And For Saturday, the weather will stay dry, but clouds will increase during the day, the high at 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Back with Lars, Matt, Noah, Tuffy Crows in the hold. That's the baseball term. Well, it turns out, Lars, Alabama has been to Madison, Wisconsin. In 1928, I covered that game. But they laid the whitewashing on Alabama. They won it 15-0. And then the only other meeting I have here is in Arlington, Texas, 8 years ago in September. On September 5th, Alabama beat Wisconsin 35-17.
Were you sitting next to Grantland Rice in the press box?
What, Grantland Rice? Nobody heard of Grantland Rice back then. It was all Matt Coulter.
That's right.
I walk in with my hat and that little thing, the paper stuck in the side of my hat that said press.
Yeah. Had your little flask of whiskey.
Oh, I did that last week. No, I'm so kidding. Never, ever, ever while working. So, and that's the truth. All right, let's go to Tuffy Crow. Longtime Jacksonville State assistant. He was at UAB. He was back in the day. You want to talk about somebody that's older than me, Lars? Tuffy Crow. And that's why I have him on the show. Makes
that's
me feel
it.
Better.
So you feel young. Hey, yes. I tell you who was sitting next to you in that press box in 1928 was Clyde Bolton. And he was old then.
You know, I saw Mike at the race, and Clyde's still tooling around with his dapper little hat and driving his Miata.
They don't make him like that. Clyde and Wayne Martin come to every home game up here at Jack State.
Yep. I've sat up there with them. It's very, very cool. But speaking of Jack State, just want to get your thoughts on Bill Burgess, the coach, and Bill Burgess, the man. We're sorry to see that he passed yesterday at the age of 82.
Oh, I know. Boy, I knew it was coming, but people didn't really realize it was this soon. He was a unique man. He was one of those that, if we'd been around those coaches that had that knack, of could just tuck their toughest nails and could wear you out, and you feel like you're nothing, and 30 seconds later they got their arm around you and you feel like you're in love with them again. He was one of those. I told you, Matt, one of my favorite Bill Burgess stories is a sports writer asked him once if Bill thought people were ever spying on his practices. He said, "I don't care if they do or not. They come stand next to me on the practice field if they want to." He said, "We're going to run the wishbone on offense, and we're going to run the old split four defense on defense, and we're not going to change. And if things stop us, they could stop us." He did not care. He was one tough rascal. I tell you this story. Hey, he had a knee total knee, probably 2 or 3 months after me in 2015. Jim Skidmore, who was a trainer up here for 40 years, told me that Coach Burgess and Rick and Greg went deer hunting like 3 weeks after his total knee replacement. So he was tough now. One of the great ones.
What made him so good? Was it connecting with players? Was it recruiting, getting the talent there? Obviously, he's in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, had a lot of success. But what kind of were his hallmarks?
I think he was able to connect with the players. He was able to connect with the media. He welcomed anybody in his office. Those players that played for him from 85 up here to 96, and before that, the Oxford players. And I go all the way back to a friend of mine, Leo Wright, Matt, old Leo that was with the Stallions as a strength coach, Wright weight equipment. He coached Leo at Woodlawn, And they love him. They still, the bird, they call themselves up here the Burgess Boys. And he's tough on them now, but had that knack. Lawrence, kind of like Bruce Arians. Bruce had that knack, could cuss you out and you feel like you're nothing. And then, you know, in 30 seconds, a minute, he got you feeling like you're the top of the world.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce's motto is coach him hard, hug him harder. And
that's it.
I mean, that's how he sums it up. How about on the field? You know, he led the Gamecocks program from 85 to 96, won the Division II national championship in the 92 season. Do you remember anything about that 92 season? What made it so special?
I think that group of guys, haven't talked to all those guys at UAB then, but haven't talked to the guys that were on that team and played for him. He was able to just make them feel like it didn't matter who they played, they were going to beat anybody that showed up. Bill had a saying, I don't care where we play you, we'll play you out here on I-20 if you want to, if they'll stop long enough. And he made them feel like that. The year before, back then the Division II championship was in Florence. And then I think it was 91, the year before, a huge snowstorm hit that day, and they played and got beat by like a field goal, and then came back the following year and won it. But they were good. They just, what they did, they did. They ran the wishbone, and that was it. They weren't going to get in Twins. They weren't going to get out of it. But he was able to make those players feel like they were the best players in the world.
So on third and nine from their own 35, they're still going to run it to the left or run it to the right?
They may run it into the boundary and run the option and pick up 45 yards. But he could do it now. Had a great coaching staff with him. All those guys, most of them came from Oxford with him.
From Oxford, yeah.
And just did a great job of fitting into the college game and adapting to it.
Just a larger question here. Being from Nebraska and growing up in the 80s and 90s, really in the 80s, the team we always feared the most was Oklahoma and the wishbone. So why is the wishbone sort of gone the way of the dodo? Why has the wishbone disappeared essentially from the college game?
You know, I hate to say, I think a lot of it is people want to see those games where you're scoring 60 points and throwing it every down, and people spread all over the field. But when you run the wishbone or any type of option game, the team you're playing has to spend all week at practice trying to make sure they have somebody on the dive, because you run, you know, the quarterback's going to run that fullback up in there. He'll pull it and pitch it. So you've got to have somebody on the dive, on the quarterback, and on the pitch every play. And if you don't, it's going to be a big game for the offense. And, I think people now like to see offensive linemen want to, you know, Matt, they're going to lean back in that stance with just a little bit of weight on their hand to pass protect. Now, you get in a wishbone, doggone, they would get in a four-point stance down there and just dare somebody to step up, because they were going to hit them.
Do you think it could be successful? If you got players buy in?
I think, well, I tell you what, Watson Brown always had a great theory about, we always ran, not necessarily out of the wishbone, when we got on short yardage to goal line, if we had less than a yard or less, we would get in a wishbone and run a play out of it where we blocked everybody down to one side, tight end everybody down, kicked somebody out and hand the ball to a big fullback. But he always wanted to run two option plays in the first half and two in the second half. just so people had to work on it all week. It takes time away from working on everything else. So it worked. On the goal line, if we would go for a yard to go on the goal line, we got in that too tight wishbone, we'd hand it off and knock people out there, and then we may come back and pull it and drag the backside tight end along there and throw it to him. So there's a lot you could do out of it. Heck, look at Coach Bryant there in the 70s. Mal and those guys.
Hey, Tuffy, can you hang through a break and talk a little bit more?
I can do it.
I've got my own personal little opinion on why people don't run the bone. I'm sure everybody's waiting with bated breath. You're listening to Big Dune Sports.
Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
Sundown to the Plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is Big Noon Sports, and our guest, many of our guests are brought to you by Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker. But Tuffy Crow is our guest, longtime college football coach, pro coach. He's done it all. Yeah. We got him on to talk about Bill Burgess and his passing at the age of 82, and the conversation led immediately to his toughness and then led to what he ran, loved, and won with, and that was the wishbone. Tuffy, see if you agree with this, and I don't know, the many bus rides we took to and from stadiums, we may have talked about this before, but I always thought that a lot of teams stopped running the wishbone because the game got so much faster. The cornerbacks could fly. The edge rushers could fly and cover. And then if you had a really, really smart, quick defensive end, it wouldn't be real easy, but you could stop the wishbone. Did speed in some way stop the wishbone?
I think it did, too. I think the defenses, you know, the offense will come along and the defense, for a while, nobody can stop it. Finally, somebody starts making adjustments, and they'll stop it. I can remember back in the early, mid-70s, the old split-back beer that Bill Yeoman and University of Houston ran. And they ran a little dump pass to the tight end after they had ride the fullback up in there and hit the quarterback stand up and hit the tight end on a little seam route. I remember coaches talk about, you can't stop that play. Well, people started walking, going to cover two and walking the safety down, and they got it. Then they went, you know, people start, like you said, Matt, people on defense just got so much better. They got away from just the big old muscular guys to, doggone it, everybody on defense can run now. I watched that Alabama-Georgia game. Good night, were there some athletes running around at that game. And I think you're right. That is hard to do. And I tell you, one thing is, I think they're so, players are so much bigger and stronger now, your quarterback's not going to last. People in the option game are going, defenses are going to make the quarterback keep the ball. And he's just going to take a beating, and it wasn't worth it. Got to start getting away from it. But
This is a great short yardage offense
now. Doggone it, it's fun.
So fun to watch.
This is, oh, I this know. Is, This is somewhat
I remember people saying, well, they can't, it's hard to recruit because kids want to go play pro ball and they don't look at it well. I'm going to work for Coach Bryant. They had four or five quarterbacks that played in the NFL from that wishbone. Had a pretty good tight end named Ozzie Newsome that did okay. Tony Nathan, a running back. So I look at those Oklahoma, Lawrence was talking about Oklahoma. Yeah, look at those Oklahoma wishbone things.
Jack Whitman. Mildren.
Elvis Peacock, Janelle Holloway, and the thing, you know who was the real killer was Keith Jackson, the tight end. Because if you have a good tight end in the wishbone, it's almost unstoppable because you are going to have a guy on top of that tight end who cannot cover that tight end.
Great point.
No, he was a big, strong guy. Keith Jackson, a big, strong guy, and could run. So, yeah, it's tough to handle those guys.
Well, here's another college football question for you, but one of a more contemporary question. Is there a young coach, either in the SEC or across the country, a young head coach that you are particularly impressed with and you think is just going to have a really stellar, long, successful career?
You know, the guy, I'm not sure, he's not real old, but everybody's young to me now, but guy Missouri has done a great job out there. That's a good football team now. And, there's a handful, there's a lot of coaching changes going on now. Guy just left Troy, went to Tulane. I tell you, he's got a bright future. I guess that Matt, you know, we played Tulane so many times that we've been down there several times. They were not very good then, and they've got that program on a roll now. But I tell you another one, Rhett Lashley out at SMU. He's going to be a name that's going to be thrown around a lot.
I got to know Rhett when he was the offensive coordinator at Auburn at a very young age, and man, he was so impressive.
Oh, I know it. He was. He worked with Pat at Sullivan at Samford, and where I got to know him, and he's sharp. He's going to be one of those. There's a lot of young coaches. I'll be honest, coaching's a young man's game. I don't know how Nick Saban does. He just wired whatever the wiring. Yeah, the good Lord gave him is different. I don't think he ever checks up.
I think Shane Beamer too is.
I think Shane is too.
Great.
Yeah, hey Matt, Brian Thomas that played for us at UAB, first round pick with the Jets, 12-year veteran.
Wasn't that where
he was? Yeah, out of Minor High School. Yeah. His son Brian Thomas Jr. is playing a defensive end, outside linebacker up there, and loves Shane Beamer. And so I think he's going to be a great one, too. I believe he may have to. I know, boy, when you're coaching at SEC and having to play now, what is – did they stay with 8 conference games? I think I watched part of that
they
last
did.
Night. But
yeah.
But still, oh, Lord, you're playing 8 teams that just beat you up every week. But Shane Beamer is a good football coach. His daddy's over there with Bruce and Roethlisberger and Kirby.
Reynolds Plantation.
Riding up down that big lake, it's like a coach's convention.
Yeah. And, gosh, it was 1 year when Frank Beamer was still at Virginia Tech, and I think they opened the season against Alabama. And he was standing, I was playing golf with him. He's standing over a 70-foot putt. I was like, Coach, you feel any pressure right now? He's like, pressure? Pressure is opening the damn season against Alabama. And then, boom, he knocks it in from 70 feet. It was the most incredible thing.
Oh, that's great.
And I tweeted that out, and I think I got more followers from that one tweet because it was just an amazing scene. And Shane is kind of the same way. Like, he just comes through. And I wonder if when Virginia Tech ultimately gives Shane Beamer a call, does he go home? I think he goes back to Blacksburg.
I do, too. Every time I hear Frank Beamer's name, I cringe because we played him three times at UAB. Had one of those deals where we played them twice up there and once in Birmingham. The year we played them in Birmingham, they had big defensive end. It was a great player.
Corey Reber. Corey.
You remember
that wasn't Reber. That's an Alabama player. But yes. He was undersized, but he was really
Duncan
good.
Duncan Miller, the quarterback. They were so good on defense. They were just in special teams. They were killing everybody. We had made a change at punter, and bless his heart, Lee Miller. He's a doctor down in Autaugaville now. Bless his heart, we put him in to punt. It's bum bum. They blocked the very first punt the guy had.
Yeah.
And pick it up, run it in right for the half. Lee Carter's a doctor now, but he sure did.
I never could understand why they were so good, those Virginia Tech teams, and then why they called it Beamer Ball. Why you can see on film, I assume, as an opposing coach, of what they're doing. Why doesn't everybody else do what Frank Beamer was doing? Because it seemed like every game they blocked a punt or a point after or a field goal attempt.
I swear, we looking back, of course, in that situation before the half, we should have gone tight punt and brought everybody in, but I'm not sure it would have helped. They had such a game plan on their special teams, and they said Coach Beamer was the one that coached the special teams. But you're right. They had a plan to block a punt every game. And they did a lot of it.
I remember talking to him, and he said, we practice it more, so we're going to be better more. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I do think they spent about 33% of their time on special teams.
Chuffy. We gotta get out of here, man. This 30 minutes has absolutely flown by. We'll do it again. Merry Christmas to you, your family.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys. I got a call while we were on the air here from our buddy Tom Banks. So I got to call Tom Banks. Tom Banks.
Yeah, they talk about a long time ago. You too.
Yes. Hey, the Gamecocks play Saturday at 1:00 on ESPN down in. New Orleans Bowl.
God, we didn't even get to that. All right, Tuffy. Thanks, man.
Hey, y'all have a great Christmas.
Thank you, Tuffy. Too.
See you guys.
Do not forget, and this is Elvis Presley. That's something that Tuffy and I, we went to his very first concert. It's a Jerome Jackson tribute, and it's going to be in Tuscaloosa tomorrow night, Druid City Music Hall. Go to druidcitymusichall.com and get your tickets. You better hurry. 7:00. Go to the website. Go see the Elvis Show for Christmas.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Coming up on the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show on Friday morning at 9, we're getting you ready for the weekend with that great weekend music. Also, Adam Amin from Fox Sports, your phone calls, analysis, and more. That's the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show, Friday morning at 9.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Football. Sunbelt champion Troy meets Duke in the 76th Birmingham Bowl on December 23rd at Protective Stadium. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just $30. The pregame festivities kick off December 22nd at the Bud Light Fan Fest Pep Rally in Uptown with live music, team pep rallies, and everything else you need to get in the game day spirit. This season, fill your holidays with good cheer. Get tickets and more information at BirminghamBowl.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mostly sunny afternoon. The high today, 62. Fair tonight with a low at 38. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 61. And for Saturday, the weather will stay dry, but clouds will increase during the day. The high at 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
This show is presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage. Lars, Matt, Noah, the gang is all here on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon in the state of Alabama. Here's a couple of notes because we had an early guest and we've been talking about several other subjects. Here's one I found very interesting, Lars. I don't know if it got past you or not. Just, I see the headline. It said, Rolando McClain's suspension lifted. And I'm going, what? He hasn't played. I think he may have been on a roster in 2019. But just a quick deal, McClain was his about can't-miss linebacker to come out of Alabama since Leroy Jordan. I mean, he had all the skills. But there was another side to him. He was involved in a gun and a shooting. Didn't kill or hurt anybody. He fired a gun right next to some guy and threatened him. And then he had a lot of he was suspended finally from the league for substance abuse issues. But I've never heard somebody being out that long, suspended that long for substance abuse. And Lars, I hate to just dump it on you like that, but that just struck me as very odd. And here's a question for you. At age 34, will somebody give him a shot?
No, I wrote about a 5,000 word piece on Rolando McClain, and it published in December of 2014. Back then he was playing with the Cowboys, and, I went down to Dallas. I'd already talked to a bunch of his really close friends in Tuscaloosa and in the area. I went up to Decatur and talked to Jerry Adcock, his high school coach. And I talked to, the Dallas defensive coordinator. Can't remember.
Was it the guy with Campo. The long white hair?
Yes. Yes. But I wrote about how much I led the story with how much he loved his house in Tuscaloosa on the lake, and or his mansion on Lake Tuscaloosa, and that he really felt most at peace when he was out fishing, out on the water. Alone in his boat, and I wrote about just how unburdened and just fully absorbed in the moment he was, right? And not running from the ghosts of the past or concerned with the future. It was like almost a form of therapy for him. And Matt, I've really never talked about this publicly. I was asked many, many times to come on, like in a CNN, MSNBC, NBC. Because it was not long after I wrote this story that his house was burned down. Do you remember that? Yeah. And you know, people wanted me to come on and discuss this because that came out in December of 14, and I don't remember. There was a stretch of time, but the piece got a lot of attention. And, because I went on like the circuit promoting the piece, going on like Jim Rome's radio show or whoever, a bunch of the national ESPN shows and all that. And so it freaked me out a little bit. like the thing that he loved the most suddenly went up in flames, literally. And I forget what the resolution was of what caused the fire, but anyway, To me, it's almost like a bigger metaphor. And I don't know what Rolando's doing now. I hope he's doing really good. I liked him very much. He wasn't someone who coveted the spotlight, but he was just gifted, so physically gifted, you know. And Nick Saban to this day just raves about Rolando McClain and what a good person he is and what a great leader he was, and just as a physical person. I mean, he was as impressive as they come, Matt.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he ran like a 4.440. He was not as tall, but he's Dante Hightower in many respects. And as can't miss a player, as I said just a minute ago, as Alabama's probably ever had. But you know,
yeah,
he had some
the
trouble.
The fire. Okay, so the fire that destroyed his house was ruled arson. And it was destroyed in February of, I believe it was February of 2015. So it was it was less than a month after the story ran.
Wow.
Now, is there a correlation? I don't know.
That's tough to speculate on, too.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, people, they
put hot coals.
That's why I refuse to do any interviews on the subject.
Well, good for you.
I'm not, because I don't, I'm just saying.
By the way,
presenting facts. Sorry, I was not expecting us to go in this direction.
No, but I did. I expected it to give it its, you know, its 60-second read and move on. I had no idea you did that piece. That made this particular story even more enlightening. And I'm appreciate what you did then and what you're doing as a result.
People can check it out on Bleacher Report. If you just Google Lars Anderson Bleacher Rolando McClain, it will come up.
All right, I did a little work while we were talking here. Rob Ryan was the name of the Dallas defensive coordinator that had long, grayish, whitish locks. So we still have another hour. I just got a text from the Mixer, Mick Gillespie. He's going to join us coming up here in the second hour. We'll get back into the Alabama, and Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Vandy. We'll get back into the SEC football schedules. I don't know why a lot of people are stunned by this, but most of it was already in place. It was merely when and, you know, when the off dates were coming in. That's the biggest thing. And Alabama has two off dates. I guess all schools do. So that's interesting, too. So long, tough season. But, hey, if you play in the SEC, you were already getting that. Hey, you're listening to Big Noon Sports with Matt and Lars. Back in a second.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Kevin Wyer.
Developing story in college basketball as the Mountain West Conference is reportedly in discussions with Oregon State and Washington State to join the league for the 2024-2025 college basketball season. That's according to College Hoops Today. The report would go on to say that there is no timetable on an official announcement, but the Mountain West did recently announce a football scheduling agreement with both of those two schools for next year. This is the last year the Pac-12 will be competing in its current form. NFL news. We got some injury updates. Colts head coach Shane Steichen ruling out Jonathan Taylor for Saturday's game against the Steelers. Isaiah Pacheco not practicing today, according to ESPN, so his status for Sunday at New England is in doubt. But Lions head coach Dan Campbell did say that C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been medically cleared and his practice window will likely start next week. And the Giants getting tight end Darren Waller back from injured reserve.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Just a little past 1 o'clock, the top of the hour on this sunny Thursday afternoon. It's Matt, Lars, Noah, and Mick Gillespie will join us in just a few minutes, and we'll just talk about baseball, Alabama football, and many other things. Alabama football schedule is out. We talked about that first hour. We can go back into that. Here's one that I just caught a little while ago, Lars, is that a guy named Tyler Barron, defensive lineman for Tennessee, has put himself in the transfer portal, and Alabama has reached out. This guy was ranked the number 22, and you know they got rankings for everything now. He was ranked number 22 in the valued players in the transfer portal. He's got pretty impressive stats, and watched him play Alabama and others this past season and the season before, but I always find it very interesting when guys transfer, and particularly when they transfer within their conference. But, you know, the last guy that transferred to Alabama, it was a Tennessee defensive player. Alabama won a national championship. He wore jersey number 10. You remember a guy named Henry Tautau?
Yeah.
Wow.
He turned out really well for everyone involved in that situation. And, man, you just think of it from, like, Coach Saban's perspective. Like, you got to prepare for Michigan. He was just flew out to California, spent some time with Julian Sain and his family, and I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but they seem very happy. Everyone seems very happy. That kid is right now he is the future of the program. I really think he will have every opportunity to be the next quarterback after Jalen Milroe. I think he'll have every opportunity to be the starter in 2025, and then possibly be the starter for, you know, 2 years or three. But we'll see. That's putting a lot out there. But so what I'm trying to get around to is, Nick Saban is still recruiting. He's preparing for Michigan. I'm sure he's also they're also doing advanced scouting on both Texas and Washington, because the time between the semifinal and the final is something like 10 days. I'm not sure. I don't have the calendar in front of me, but so he's out. And they're also trying to finish up make sure that everybody, and that's what Nick Saban's doing. He's just making sure all of his top guys from this recruiting class, because the signing day is coming up here very shortly. He's just making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, kind of thing. But he's also got to deal with transfer portal as well. I mean, it's just the workload for a head coach, especially if you are one of the four who are still playing for a national title. It's just it's insane right now. I mean, he needs to be like in four places at once, you know, 14 hours a day, and there's just not enough time. And so this is, I think, one of the things that he does so well, and you know this, is time management.
He can multitask at such a high level, whereas, yes, you know, most of us, when we multitask, maybe we're taking care of the big priority and maybe the second one, but everything else falls down. It never happens with Nick Saban. You're right. He's a master of time management.
And I forget who he was going to visit. I think it was a Doriel Green Beckham. I did another piece on DGB, and he was telling me about when Nick Saban came to his high school, and then his actually then his dad his, or the, his father who adopted him, his high school coach, told me that when Nick Saban came, everything was done with, it wasn't just military precision, it was like presidential precision. The plane, the jet, the private jet lands at, they know exactly when. There's a car right there to get him into the car. They allow a lot, like 2 minutes, right, to get from plane to car. They allot 16 minutes to get from the private airport to the high school. A lot, like 2 minutes to get in from high school to coach's office. And then like 8 minutes to meet with coach. 14 minutes then to meet with coach and player, and then meet with coach, meet with player and parents, and then, you know, then they're out. And again, but the coach was telling me, and Doyle Green Beckham's adopted father, was that he the only comparison he could draw was like when Air Force One lands. You know, everything is done. Everything is on an incredibly tight schedule, minute to minute. And that's the way that that one recruiting visit went. But I suspect that is the norm, not the outlier.
And did he not, on his way back, dot a couple of I's and cross a couple of T's? He flew into a couple of other places. What my I vaguely remember from reading about that. But
yeah,
here's another transfer portal story that I did not expect. I did not see this one coming. Malik Murphy put himself on the transfer portal yesterday. He's the Texas backup and a darn good one. And now he's not going to be available for the Sugar Bowl. How about that? And then Quinn Ewers
decided. Does that mean Arch Manning is?
Yeah.
Arch is. You know what? That doesn't surprise me because I had heard whispers that Arch was even thinking of getting into the transfer portal. So what I'm guessing is that Sarkisian made it very clear to everybody that the next guy in line after Quinn Ewers is Arch Manning. And he probably had to do that in order to make sure that Arch wasn't leaving.
That's just a guess. Justify the huge NIL money, you know?
Yeah.
They're paying all those quarterbacks a whole lot of money.
Yeah, including Nebraska. I mean, I'm hearing that they are about ready to fork over a king's ransom to get Dylan Raiola to flip from Georgia to go to Nebraska. And it seems to be gaining more momentum that this is going to happen because Kyle McCord, who it looked like it was a done deal, going to Nebraska, the Ohio State starting quarterback for the first 12 games of the season. He left Lincoln without making a commitment and said, hey, I'm still open for business. So what that tells me is that Dylan Raiola, I think, and it's amazing that the power that these high school kids now wield, it tells me that Raiola wants to start next year. And yeah, I'm sure you know, no promises were made, but I don't think Kyle McCord wants to go head to head with Dylan Raiola. And so it tells me that Raiola is coming to Nebraska. And for an immense amount of his NIL is going to be, you know, as rich as big as any freshman I'm guessing has ever received.
How do you think Malik Murphy would look in orange and blue? You think Hugh Freeze might drop a dime, try and get in touch with Malik Murphy?
Yes.
Man, what a pickup that would be. But here's the situation. He is not playing for Texas now. So, obviously, their starting quarterback is Quinn Ewers. Well, Quinn has yet to decide whether or not he's going to go to the NFL. I don't know if you've heard anything one way or the other on that. But if he decides to go to the NFL, Malik Murphy would have been the starter. Not anymore. He's going to start for Auburn. Okay, whatever the case may be. That could potentially, this whole situation could mean that come the end of August in 24, starting quarterback for the Longhorns will be Arch Manning. How about that for some dominoes fall?
Yeah, I mean, look, Arch Manning, and I wouldn't be surprised if Hugh Freeze goes after this kid hard.
He's really good.
Yeah, he is really good. He is really good. And Auburn, to me, once they get that quarterback situation figured out, and you know Hugh Freeze will, they're going to be very formidable. And so, yeah, you just think about all the dominoes. This could have gone started with Arch Manning saying, hey, if I am not the clear-cut guy, next guy in line, I'm gone. Therefore, that causes the other guy to leave, who then becomes a starting quarterback at Auburn. I know that's a ton of speculation, obviously, but that's just the way it is now. It's almost musical chairs with the quarterbacks. And the transfer portal, I think, has benefited the quarterbacks more than anyone else, because, man, you look at the guys who've won Heisman trophies recently or even been finalists or done really well. Joe Burrow, obviously Jalen Hurts was a finalist. Just all the guys who have transferred. Penix, he was a transfer. Winner, Jaden was a transfer. Jaden Daniels, he was started at Arizona State or Arizona. It's hard to keep up with, frankly.
Yeah, and it's hard enough for us to keep up with. Imagine what Saban and Freeze and all the other coaches are doing, especially the four coaches that are in the playoffs. I mean, how in the world they do that? Way above my pay grade. Hey, it's Big Noon Sports. It's presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage, and Mick Gillespie is coming up.
Hi, baby.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mostly sunny afternoon, the high today 62. Fair tonight with a low at 38. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 61. And for Saturday, the weather will stay dry, but clouds will increase during the day, the high at 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9.
Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Interviews here on Big Noon Sports with Matt and Lars and Noah are brought to you by Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker, and a regular on our show, particularly on Fridays. Mick knows Laura Lee. Anyway, Mick Gillespie is joining us. Mick, did you get all that shopping done?
Well, I'm in the process of shopping. It was probably 2 days ago. We realized we hadn't bought anything for Christmas, so we've been frantically working on it since.
You got kids too, right?
Yeah, that was the concern. I don't know how it slipped my mind, but
Mick,
I guess we just got here so fast.
Mick, we have way too much in common.
That's awesome. No, wait a minute now. I got to brag on you, Lars. You hit the ground.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you hit the ground and did back 4 hours of shopping someday last week.
No, I did. Just because I was in panic mode. Because you never know when you're going to get really busy. So.
Well, I just tell you, the older you get and you have children, you just, the light in their eyes at Christmas, it just blows me away. And now, y'all do it with your children. I'm doing it with my grandchildren. The other day, I was babysitting with them, and they pulled out these, we used to call them a wish book. Do you remember the J.C. Penney?
Oh, yeah.
Books?
Yeah.
This is true. 8-year-old grandson, Cole, who's just obsessed with sports. You know what he does? He doesn't get out a wish book. He gets online. And he scrolls through things and goes, this is what I like, Poppy. This is what I like, Poppy. So, anyway.
No. Lincoln, my 8-year-old, he'll text me exactly what he wants. He wants a golf simulator, right? And a really nice one.
I do, too.
And he's like, hey, this is what I want from Santa Claus. So I'm thinking, I won't go into what he knows about Santa Claus. Yeah. So anyway, so Santa Claus is
the reason
he
sent it to you.
Yeah. I'm a sucker. Anyway, Mick, SEC schedule announced yesterday. What do you think of Alabama's murderer's row that they got to go through next year?
Yeah, it's a tough schedule. I think that if you like watching good football, you're going to get that. But it's closer to an NFL schedule than we've ever seen. And 2 years ago, I thought it was a very difficult schedule. And next year's obviously is. I mean, you're going to Wisconsin. Didn't have to do that one. But, obviously playing at LSU in Tennessee, at Oklahoma. I mean, that's a lot of a really tough away environment to play in. And it definitely signals a change in an era of college football.
Who do you think, is it possible that anybody had an easier one than anybody else?
Yeah, they were all tough. I was laughing. I saw some story, and the headline was, talking about Georgia not being able to play a weak schedule. Their schedule, they made up for all the weak schedules they played because their schedule's brutal too, and all of them are. You just have a lot more balance with the scheduling now, and if you're a season ticket holder, obviously you're going to get more for your money.
Yeah, and man, you look at Florida's schedule, and you have to wonder if Billy Napier is going to be around by the end of next season, because right now he's had two, pretty disappointing seasons. And you look at Florida, 10 of the 11 FBS teams they're playing are in a bowl game this year. They're playing six teams that finished in the college football playoff top 20, and four of those six are away from home. Oh, man. I mean, it's just it is a brutal schedule for Florida.
Yeah, yeah. And they just – I saw where ETN transferred to Georgia, or he's talking about transferring to Georgia, their running back. I don't know. Like, the expectations there sometimes are unrealistic. When you have Steve Spurrier or Urban Meyer, you can win there, but everyone else has failed. I mean, you look going back forever. And Dan Mullen had success, but it wasn't good enough. They didn't think he recruited, and now Napier's there, and they're just kind of a middle-of-the-road to bottom team. And when you look at a schedule like that, it's going to be tough to turn the corner.
What did you think? And I give you pause here because I have not gone through all 16, but Florida is brutal. I mean, like 10 of the 12 teams on their schedule won 10 games this year, something like that. It's quite hard to believe that it all fell on them. And I feel bad for Billy Napier because I think, like Norris said, that's going to be it for him. Did you have a chance to look at Auburn?
I saw a little bit of it. Just like Alabama, they've got to play, Texas A&M the week before the Iron Bowl, and that's pretty funny to me. I think that, that these schedules are definitely made to try to figure out how to get more out of some of these weeks where there's no game, and that's been one of those areas where, in the past, we look at it and we're like, Bama's playing, Chattanooga or something, and whoever else. And now you look at these schedules and that week, some of those really weak weeks, are now all of a sudden not so week anymore, you know, pun intended here, you know. So, I mean, like, playing against teams like, you know, Texas and Oklahoma mixed in with the schedule where you're just not, you know, like with Georgia, felt like every year, you know, you get South Carolina, Vandy, and I know Missouri was good this year, but and then throw Kentucky in there. I mean, those are four easy games. The West has been so much better. I like it like it is right now where it's balanced.
I mean, you look at Auburn's schedule in the middle of the season. This is a four-game stretch, hosting Oklahoma, and then three straight road games at Georgia, at Missouri, at Kentucky. That's tough. That is tough. I don't recall a team ever playing three straight SEC games on the road. Matt, do you?
I don't think it could happen before because, yeah. You know, I mean, it could.
The math wouldn't allow it.
I think
it.
The yeah. only thing that gives you a chance is, I think, and I'm doing this from memory, which is not good, I think they may have an off week somewhere with those three on the road, which would help a little bit. But, you know, gee, they're not
what
the only ones.
What Bama having two byes during the season?
Yeah, I thought that was strange but very beneficial to Alabama, especially because that first bye comes after the road trip to Wisconsin. And by the way, Mick, have you ever been to Madison, Wisconsin? We talked about this at the top of the show. I've covered many games there, and it is one of the most hostile environments for a road team. And especially, you know, when you get Alabama coming to a place where they haven't played since, Matt looked it up, since like 1926 or 1931 or something, this is going to be an event. It's not just a football game. This is an event for the people of Madison, Wisconsin, and really for the people of the entire state of Wisconsin. And I'm guessing it will probably be a night game, national television, incredible atmosphere. Luke Fickle knows that if he can beat Alabama, like, he will be just a god there for the next decade. You know, it is such a monumental opportunity for the entire program in Wisconsin that you know that Alabama is going to get a really good shot there. They're going to get they're going to get the Badgers' best shot. Alabama's used to that. I understand that. But so they have the bye, and then Georgia at home. You're at Wisconsin, and then you do get a bye week to kind of regroup, and then you got Georgia at home, and that's tough. And then you also have the bye before the LSU game, traveling to LSU. But what are your thoughts about, again, that early stretch for Alabama at Wisconsin on September 14th, the bye week, and then on September 28th, Georgia, already been announced. It's a 6:30 Central Time kickoff.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. On my YouTube channel, the Bama Tailgate channel, I did a show last night for the unveiling with Ryan Anderson and Jake Coker. They joined me, and we sat around and just watched and talked about it. And all of us were really interested in going to Madison, Wisconsin to see Bama play because we've heard about what a great college town it is. I have a cousin that lives in that town, and it's just such a unique matchup, you know. And I hope that Bama keeps playing these type of games, you know, because I've always wanted to see Alabama play at Notre Dame. You know, it'd be a cool, just to go, the experience of it. Or, you know, people got to go see Bama play at Penn State when Joe Pa was still there, you know. So I love the matchup. You know, as far as the team goes, Nick Saban has had these guys up and ready to play. This past season, it took a little longer to kind of have this team ready because they lost so much and they had new coordinators, you know, and all of that. So I'm hoping that there's a lot more stability to start the season. But I think Alabama's going to do all right. What are they? They're 9-1 against Georgia with Nick Saban. You know, that's going to be a physical football game. You know, they'll go up to Wisconsin and they'll play good up there. You know that. I wonder you know, the LSU game on the road, the Tennessee game on the road. I mean, they're going to lose some games. I mean, these schedules aren't made for you to go undefeated anymore.
No.
You know, so you're going to trip up at some point, but I think it's going to be the new normal.
Do you think that we are going to see less of these really fascinating cross-conference games like Alabama, Wisconsin, because now the SEC schedule is so brutal? I mean, why not just play kind of, you know, three cupcakes and then you get into the SEC schedule?
Yeah, that's and look, it almost cost Alabama this year. If they don't beat Georgia, you know, and they barely got in, I feel like. You know, Florida State played a schedule that their attorney general ought to investigate for being so weak. and Alabama plays one of the toughest schedules, and then they add Texas in, which wasn't in the SEC last year, and it almost worked against them. So, well, I could definitely see teams shying away from these out of conference matchups, even though you have more room for a loss or two to get into the playoff. I just hope they, just as a fan, I hope they don't. But I could definitely see them doing that.
Hey, we usually keep you a couple of segments. Do you have another 10 minutes for us, Mick?
Sure.
Yeah, obviously, you and I got to touch on baseball. Of course, Lars chimed in, too. Man, he was talking Yankees with me last night. And, I mean, the guy used to sit behind home plate back in those great teams of the 90s. So Lars can hold his own in baseball. He downplays it. And I got to ask you about your partners. I want to know what Ryan and Jake are doing. So that's all coming up on Big Noon Sports.
It's time to ring in the new year right.
Bama, a winner over the Georgia Bulls.
It's the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Michigan Wolverines in the college football playoff semifinal at the Rose Bowl. Our coverage starts at 1 on New Year's Day on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner, too.
Champion Troy meets Duke in the 76th Birmingham Bowl on December 23rd at Protective Stadium. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just $30. The pregame festivities kick off December 22nd at the Bud Light Fan Fest Pep Rally at Uptown with live music, team pep rallies, and everything else you need to get in the game day spirit. This season, fill your holidays with good cheer. Get tickets and more information at BirminghamBowl.com.
Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
With our guest, Mick Gillespie. Mick, got to ask a really big transfer portal question, but first tell everybody, you mentioned your YouTube channel. Tell everybody where they can get a hold of Mick.
Yeah, check it out. Bama Tailgate on YouTube. Do shows every day. Yes, sometimes like pop-up live shows where, you know, you get on and like, we just watch the schedule being announced. And you know, during game days, we do the tailgate show. And then the post-game show, we're on live. And just try to cover the Tide. We'll be watching signing day next week. So Bama Tailgate on YouTube.
Malik Murphy has put his name in the transfer portal. from Texas. That surprised me a little bit. Quinn Ewers has yet to say whether he's going to go to the NFL. I'm wondering now if he's going to stay, and that's why Malik decided to transfer. And then there's Arch Manning that's hanging around here. And believe it or not, this could happen. I certainly hope nothing happens to Ewers, but he has shown that he can get injured. And suddenly Arch Manning could be playing for the national championship. What do you make of all this? And why do you think Murphy's leaving?
Well, he wants to play, and they didn't pay, you know, Arch Manning $15 million or whatever he makes up there to sit on the bench. I mean, he'll go somewhere else. I mean, I'm sure Peyton would love to see him go to Tennessee. He's going to need a quarterback. I know they got Nico, but that job's open, you know, if Arch Manning wanted it. And I'm sure there's some other spots, too. I mean, he was high on Bama. Not that he's going to come there with Julian Staines ready to sign next week. But the problem isn't that the kids want to transfer, because that is what it is now. The problem is that the way they do it. I mean, why would in the world would we have this right now when there's still games going on? You know, shouldn't we push this back to when nothing's going on after the national championship, like the next day or something? And then the national signing day for high school kids, they've messed that all up. It used to be in February, and then they made it to where it's early now during the season. You know, Bama's trying to get ready for a playoff game, and then you got Nick Saban flying all over the country because he's got to do that to recruit. So the NCAA is, to me, at full fault, because they have built this system that, like a lot of the things they do, makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. And you mentioned Julian saying, and we talked about this earlier too, Nick Saban has to be in 12 places at the same time right now. You know, it's just impossible for him, especially, you know, it's especially hard on the four head coaches who are in vying for the national championship. But you mentioned Julian saying, Nick Saban was just out in California visiting with him. What do you think the quarterback room is going to look like next year, which is a roundabout way of asking you, who do you think is going to transfer out?
Well, Buckner's already transferring back to Notre Dame to play lacrosse, which I respect that. I played on the club team at Alabama, that even scored a goal against Georgia Southern, so that's a proud moment in my life. So good for him. And Notre Dame's actually pretty good at lacrosse, so... But he's not good enough to play quarterback. So let him go do that. I think Ty Simpson might want to think about transferring. I would probably say Laudergan against Saban. And with Milroe sticking around one more year, you know, and I heard him on the next round today talking about next year being his senior season, which really technically it's really his junior season. But if he's taking that as his senior season, then that means one more year for him, and then, you know, obviously one of those other guys.
Hey, I mentioned this going into the break. Your partners on your YouTube shows, Ryan Anderson and Jake Coker, what are they up to these days?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Jake and I do a podcast together twice a week for Disrupt the Media called Elephant in the Room. That's on Roll Tide Pods on YouTube, and it's been so much fun hanging out with him. He's doing insurance down here on the coast, travels a lot. You know, he's involved in a lot of the different Alabama clubs, like the Red Elephant Club. And then Ryan just wrapped up his NFL career, and he's a contractor now. So it's hard to get Ryan on as much as we want him to come on and join us, just because he's got so many projects as far as building and doing that stuff. But when we all three get together, it really is a great time, and it's been fun hanging out with those guys and hearing the stories about what it was like to play at Alabama and their teammates. And you know, and like Ryan said last night, he's all in on being a fan now, you know. So, so we talk about it. And, you know, sometimes you forget that those guys, you know, once played, you know, because they're such super fans to the program. And I think that also tells you a lot about how cool it is to go to Alabama, whether you're a student athlete or a student, or if you just love the university.
Mick, one of my students is listening now, and he just texted me and wanted me to ask you, what makes a good podcast? What makes a podcast work? Because, you know, every young person seems like who wants to go into sports media, they realize that a great way to get into it is to have a podcast. But how do you make it work? How do you grow it? How do you make it so you're actually making money off of it?
Well, and I'll tell you the answer. I had people telling me for a long time I needed to do my own podcasting, and I was a little reluctant to do it because it's tough. You know, you start channels. I've got the Bama Tailgate channel, and I've also got the Cubs baseball channel, right? And those are teams that I've covered, you know, Bama since I went to school there and graduated. You know, my first game was the 96 Iron Bowl. You know, so I've covered them, student media, and then Crimson Tide Sports Network, SEC, you know, different radio stations, you know, On Three, Rivals. I've been around it a long time, right? So there's a lot of history there. And then the Cubs, you know, I started working with the Cubs in 2007. So, I mean, and still am involved. But I didn't know the answer to that. I just started one day, both of these channels within the last 6 months, and they're both monetizing. I think it's persistence and consistency. You also want to make videos. They're different type videos. Some of them are short, you know, 10-minute videos, and those are going to get different viewers than like last night's show that I did with Ryan and Jake, which was, you know, a live show that went an hour. We're going to have another show that'll be on Elephant in the Room. We'll drop that today on Roll Tide Pods. That's another hour. So it's just, they're just different content. And when I worked with the guys at Bama Insider, they did a great job of covering press conferences and getting different things out that, you know, that were more like short videos. But I'd say the biggest thing is being persistent and being consistent. You know, be persistently putting out content and be consistent about doing it, you know, and have something to say. But I don't know. Like, one channel is closing in on 3,000. The other one has 25,000 subscribers. And I always honestly feel lucky. I don't even know how it's happening. So I'm probably not the best person to answer that. But I think that if you take advantage of the market and talk about the things that people want to talk about, then you'll get viewers.
And I will add to that, and you might have mentioned this, but support your podcast through every flipping social media platform you can. And if you're not on Instagram, get on Instagram. If you're not on Facebook, get on Facebook. That's what you got to. Hey, it's work, man. It is work. The fun part's doing the show. Setting it up, doing all that, you know. Hey, man, it's flown by again. Thank you, Mick. If we don't talk next week, get your Christmas shopping done, first of all. Have a Merry Christmas.
We'll do it. All right. Have a Merry Christmas, guys. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Mick. And thank you for the advice. My student just texted me. He appreciates that. So I appreciate it, too.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, Lars. And tell them they can contact me personally if they need anything else.
Will do. Appreciate that. Guy. Thank you.
Last night, between 8 and 9, I put a big Do Not Disturb song around my neck. And I'll tell you why when we get back. You're listening to Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Hey, Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mostly sunny afternoon, the high today 62, fair tonight with a low at 38. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with a high at 61. And For Saturday, the weather will stay dry, but clouds will increase during the day, the high at 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is. It's Big Noon Sports. Matt and Lars, man, this show has absolutely flown by. Wanted to talk briefly, and I'm going to work on getting one of the producers of this show, this documentary, on perhaps as early as tomorrow. But between, I guess it debuted at 8 o'clock last night on the SEC Network, and it was a documentary, hour-long, Bart Starr, America's Quarterback. Just so well done. And it just gave you another inside look into just a remarkable man, not quarterback, a remarkable man, husband, father. You know, he is one of those few people, Lars. He and Pat Sullivan, one of the few people I've ever met, been around, that never heard anybody say a bad thing about him. I mean, never. Not just, oh, you didn't park in that slot well. No, they were just wonderful human beings. I don't know if you had a chance to see it or not.
I saw just a few snippets here and there, and then the final minutes of it when the tragic passing of his son is recounted. And you know, he had to deal with a lot of tragedy in his life, frankly, losing a brother, and then the worst nightmare of everybody is losing a child. And Bart actually found his son who died of a drug overdose in Tampa, and they had been kind of been fighting the demons for a while. But what really impressed me, I mean, there's just so much. He's one of the most impressive people I've ever met. And we talked about yesterday that, you know, we both had interactions with Bart. And as you mentioned, he insisted that you call him Bart, not Mr. Starr. But the fact that, you know, when you lose a child, you see this, you see that how it rips a couple apart. But it really, the strength of the marriage between Bart and his wife was so powerful that it really brought them closer together. And Bart would always write her notes, like hundreds and hundreds of notes. And when she got home from Bart's funeral, Mrs. Starr opened up a drawer and there were three notes from him. And the last one said, you know, just thank you for being such a wonderful wife and partner, you know. And it's just in a lot of ways, it was at least the parts I saw, it was a love story, and it was really well done.
Cherry is his wife, and she was just as remarkable. And they bring a lot of that out in the documentary. I don't know how you do these things, but I imagine if those of you that are familiar with the different platforms you can go to, I imagine it's on the SEC Network or in some file, they'll air it again. But I really urge you to watch. Even if you knew a lot about Bart, like Lars and I did, noticed I called him Bart, you'll learn more. And then you'll also remember, oh, yeah, that's right, he did that. So,
and you know, you hear people say at funerals, like, well, nobody ever said a bad word about this person. I truly don't think anyone ever said a bad word about Bart Starr.
Maybe once when he was the coach.
Yeah.
Because he was he admitted he was not very successful as a coach.
No, he wasn't.
Said, I just couldn't get players. But he was also general manager. But
it's not the jockey, it's the horses, as we know, as Nick Saban always says.
You are so right. Hey, Lars, I want to make sure that everybody is aware of what's happening a week from Saturday in Birmingham, Alabama. I don't think I've missed one of these games, maybe a couple, but the Birmingham Bowl, the Ticketmaster Birmingham Bowl, is featuring the Trojans of Troy and the Blue Devils of Duke. It's Southern Hospitality and Serious Football. You can go to their website. Just type in Birmingham Bowl, and it'll take you to the ticket sites, too. So you can get your tickets, as you heard just a minute ago. Low as $30. That's a good way to spend a Saturday morning instead of going out shopping, you know, the day before, Christmas Eve. So I would urge you to go to the Birmingham Bowl. Lars, I think if you want to grab the kiddos, we'll go. How about that?
Let's do it. I always could use a little help. Tonight, you know what I'll be doing? It is a huge night in Volleyball Anderson's life. The number one seeded women's Nebraska volleyball team is in the Final Four facing Pitt, the number four seed, down in Tampa at Amalie Arena. And that place is going to be covered in red. I'm telling you, just give it a shot. Give it a shot. It's on ESPN, 6 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock our time. Just give it a shot. There's nothing else on that you want to watch other than just watch volleyball. This Husker volleyball women's team, because they are going to win the national championship. And this is the team that set the record earlier this year. Over 100,000 people filed into Memorial Stadium in Lincoln and watched the Husker women's volleyball team play another women's volleyball team. And it was the most highly attended women's female sporting event in American history. And I think this team is going to continue to make history and win tonight. All right, so that's my bit on Nebraska women's volleyball. Check it out tonight. And then and on Sunday, I bet Nebraska will end up playing Wisconsin. Wisconsin's playing Texas in the other semifinal. Championship match is on Sunday at 2 on ABC. So it's pretty exciting. I'm telling you.
They get the big national TV deal on Sunday?
Yeah. 2 o'clock on Sunday. Yeah. ABC.
And you will be diligently tuned in tonight.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Cool. As will every Husker person in the world.
I think we know at least 91,000. Or was it over 100?
It was 100. Yeah, it was just over 100. It was a tick over 100.
That's remarkable on so many levels. All right. Lars, as we wrap up, you got any final thoughts here?
Yeah, just I'm still struck by these schedules, by these SEC schedules. It's like, it's one thing to kind of have an outline in your mind of what it will be. But then when you actually see them on paper and you realize how freaking difficult they are, especially Florida, you have Auburn having those three straight road trips on the SEC, and that comes after you're hosting Oklahoma. And then with Alabama, I do think Alabama caught a break by getting the two byes. That will help. But on the road at Wisconsin, and then you have a bye, and then you got Georgia, who's won the last two national championships, coming to Bryant-Denny. Mick Gillespie put it best. It's an NFL schedule. Every team in the SEC is now playing an NFL schedule.
And with couple of exceptions, pretty much every team in the SEC, especially if they're playing at home, is capable of a win. Lars, here's what I really need. You know those really cool printout schedules that you can laminate, and it's got all the teams listed along the left, and then the weeks go out to the right? You know what I'm talking about? Has the colorful helmets and all that kind of stuff. I need one of those to truly gather the schedules. Yeah. That's just the one I can read. You know what I'm talking about? I think you may have given me one. I've got a really good laminated one right here in front of me. That's the way. Of course, it's going to be a little bit longer now since two teams are being added. But we'll see as we get ready for the 2024 season. We still got a lot of the 23/early 24 schedule going on as well. We got to get out of here. I will remind you once again of the Elvis Presley Christmas concert, the party. It's going to be held tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Druid City Music Hall. Go to druidcitymusichall.com and pick up your tickets. You can get them at the door, but you'd probably be smarter to go ahead and get them online. That's the Elvis Presley Christmas party tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Druid City Music Hall. Lars, we got to get out of here. Have a great day.
Have a good one, everybody.
It's time to...